is on the fourth commandment found in Exodus 20, which follows as this: Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt do no work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Therefore God blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. This commandment was given by God from Mount Sinai unto Israel of old, but it is a commandment that began already at creation. This day was set aside by God himself after laboring 6 days in creating the world. This day was set aside in commemoration of the creation. It was set aside for worship. On this day then, God commands all mankind to worship him and to keep this day holy. This day was given unto Israel again upon the mount by an audible voice, that they should keep this day holy. They were a people that had entered into a covenant with God, and they were to be a holy nation. And this would be a sign unto them that they were God's people. They were then a separate people, and they were to keep this day holy. They were forbidden to do any work. They were forbidden to build a fire on the Sabbath day. They were forbidden even to pick up the manna. These things God forbade them to do. We find likewise in Numbers 15 that they found a certain man on the Sabbath day picking up sticks. And they brought him unto Moses and Aaron and unto the whole congregation, and explained to them that they had found this man doing this, or what should be done with him. Well, Moses knew not, so they put him into ward, and he inquired of the Lord what should be done with this man. And God answered Moses and said that they should take him outside of the camp, and the whole congregation should stone him with stones, that he should die. According then to God's command concerning this man, the whole congregation took this man outside of the camp and stoned him with stones, that he died. This was done for that reason, that Israel would observe this commandment and keep this day holy. We find in the time of Jeremiah that the people of the Jews, they likewise were doing things inconsistent on the Sabbath day. They were bearing burdens on the Sabbath day in the city of Jerusalem. And God warned the people and spake unto them in love and said unto them that if they would observe his commandment, then kings and princes would sit upon the throne of David, judging Israel. But if they would not obey and would not keep this commandment, then he would send a fire amongst them which would consume all the palaces in Jerusalem and the gates thereof. These people refused to obey. They made their necks stiff, and God came and visited this city of Jerusalem. The city was burned, the palaces thereof and the gates thereof, and the people were carried away captive unto Babylon. After 70 years of captivity, we find that they were brought back again to Jerusalem. They again builded the city, and again they began to sin and transgress this commandment. And we find a man by the name of Nehemiah who had likewise had permission from a king to return back to the city. And when he seen which was going on in the city, he spake unto the rulers and to the people of Judah concerning what they were doing, that God had visited their fathers for this sin and had brought all that evil upon them. And now would they continue to do the same, that wrath would come down upon them? And this man Nehemiah, and he likewise commanded them to observe this day. And he likewise saw amongst the people of these Jewish people that they were treading wine presses on the Sabbath day. They were lading asses with grapes and with all manner of store and carrying them into the city of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. There were also men of Tyre who likewise sold all sorts of wares to the people on the Sabbath day in Jerusalem. And this man Nehemiah, his heart was touched and deeply affected with love to God and to his commandments. And therefore he commanded that before it got dark, before that the Sabbath day began, they should close the gates. And they should not open them until after the Sabbath was over the next day when it became dark again. This he did to keep out these people that came into the city to sell all their wares. And these men of Tyre, they laid outside of the city 2 Sabbath days. They persisted in coming up. They cared not about God or his commandments. And Nehemiah went and spake unto them and said unto them that if they continued to do this, he would lay his hands upon them. And from then on, they came no more unto the city of Jerusalem. We see in this that this man was gifted with authority and likewise with love to God to do these things. Oh, what a mercy it would be if God would give us a president like Nehemiah in the times in which we live, where it is very noticeable to each and every one of us that this commandment is being broken by young and old. All this country in which we live, one of the most blessed and most prosperous countries in the world, God has blessed us above all the kingdoms of the world. Our forefathers came into this country seeking religious freedom to worship God as they saw was right. And they likewise were given to do this. They came to worship God and to observe and keep his commandments. And our nation was founded in the constitution thereof upon the Bible. But when we look at the nation in respect of what it was at that time and it is today, oh, my hearers, we are called a Christian nation, but we are none else but educated heathens. So many millions of people in this country live without God, without hope, and without his commandments. Oh, we see so much sin going on just against this one commandment that we find that so many people are using this day and desecrating it against the commandment of God. So many, they have so much to do during the week that they haven't any time to do things around their home. So on Sunday, they use that day to work. Some, they work at their daily employment because they receive double time, and love of money is the root of all evil. There are many women that work all week long and have no time to do their wash, to do their housework. And on Sunday, they are washing and they are doing their housework. Men, they likewise are busy around the house. Many cut the grass. Many do things, fixing this and fixing that and painting this. This is the occupation that they are doing upon the Lord's Day. We see this. You see this and I see this. Our eyes aren't shut to these things. Oh, my hearers, in this way, this commandment is being desecrated tremendously throughout this nation. And then if we take the common, ordinary people, oh, how many millions of people are using this day as a day of pleasure. Oh, they go visiting their relatives far and near with their cars. They go out riding. Or they go down to the seashore to bathe in the sea. And they use the time, which is God's time, for their own pleasure, to satisfy their lust, their passions, and to serve the devil and sin in this world. This is what is going on in this beloved country in which we live. This commandment is being desecrated tremendously in this respect. Oh, when we see these things, my hearers, should it not be a grief to us that these things are going on? Then if we consider this is the general element of the day in which we live, they even have a saying, have a happy weekend. Then if we take it religiously, oh, how many desecrate this day in this respect, especially in the summertime, even around this area, most of the churches are empty on the Lord's Day. The people are out on vacations. They're down to the seashore in the country, the mountains. And several congregations, they have to get together and have a service on Sunday in one church, and they close the other churches. And this is what the religious people are doing even on this day. Oh, in this respect, how great and how manifold are the sins of this nation in which we live. And my hearers, coming home to our own personal habits, coming home to our own hearts, we likewise are guilty in many ways. We may observe this commandment outwardly. We may come up to the house of God outwardly and worship. But where are we while we are worshiping? God demands of us our hearts. And where are we with our minds? If we leave this place, we probably wouldn't even be able to say or tell anyone what we had been listening to. Our minds have been drifting so far away from the subject that was being spoken of. And when we come outside, why, we do not even speak of what we have heard. It seems as if it's a shame to speak about the sermons that we have listened to. As if it's a crime to speak about those things that can save us. Coming home to those that have the Spirit of God, the love of God in their hearts, oh, how many of them are in this sad state too. If they come out of the house of worship, they would sooner avoid someone that would approach them and have a conversation with them. Oh, this is the state and condition even of those that would actually love to keep God's commandments and obey Him, and still they find themselves even transgressing this commandment. And now God has given us this commandment. It's God's commandment, not mine, not yours. And we are to keep the whole day holy, not just part of it. Some people separate part of it, and the rest of the day they use for their own pleasure, their own enjoyments. God commands us to keep this day holy. And if we do not, we profane it. We sin against God. We are then upon this day to read God's word. We are to meditate upon it. We are to pray to God. We are to come up to his house of worship, not once, not twice, but as many times as possible. There are certain people that cannot come due to families that they have, and other inconsistencies that they have, afflictions, which are legitimate excuses. But we are then to observe this day from morning till night. This day God has given from creation. It was the seventh day under the Jewish dispensation. But under the Christian dispensation, it has been changed unto the first day of the week in honor of Christ who rose that day. We have no express command given by God that the first day is the Sabbath day. But where Christ rose upon the first day of the week, and where he made many visits to his disciples upon this day when they were gathered together, and from the apostles who were likewise given an abundance of the Spirit of God and met upon this day, as we find in Scripture in Acts, we find that the disciples gathered together the first day of the week to break bread. And Paul preached unto them. We find that Paul commanded the Corinthian church to lay up their contributions for the poor upon the first day of the week. And we find likewise that in the book of Revelation, John was on the Isle of Patmos, and he was in the Spirit upon the Lord's day, the first day of the week. This is what it is called. Therefore, we observe this day as our Christian Sabbath. It will remain such until the end of time. The church will continue to hold this day as a day of worship unto God. This commandment regards not only just you personally as parents, but it speaks of your sons, your daughters. And if you are an employer and have someone laboring for you, you are likewise to see that this employee does not work upon this day, but that he does, if possible, observe it according to God's commandment. It even goes over the cattle. God gave this commandment for man so that he would not be exhausted by continual work. The Lord himself rested upon this day, and so we likewise are to rest from all labor and all work. This then teaches us that as parents, we are to teach our children to observe this day and to see to it that they do. We are to speak to them, to warn them. And if we see others that we know desecrating this day, we are likewise to speak unto them. And under Israel of old, if an ox or an ass went astray from its master, and another Israelite seen this, he was to take this ox and this ass and to bring it back to his master. So likewise, if you see one of your children or any friend of yours going astray in this way, you are to speak to them in love and to turn them back to the religious observance of this day, the Sabbath day. And now God has put a peculiar blessing upon this day because it's his day. He demands this day. He gives us 6 days to work. And this one day is his day. And if we use any part of this day for recreation, for pastimes, or anything else, we are robbing God of his time. And our God has granted from creation already many blessings upon this day. He himself says in this commandment, and God blessed the Sabbath day. This is the day that we come together and we send up our prayers unto God in heaven that he would bless us and water us and make us well physically, providentially, and likewise spiritually. We have then converse with God in heaven upon this day. And at times it pleases God to come down and to commune with us when we observe this day. I would say, is there not then a great reward in keeping this commandment? If God should visit us, if God should smile on us, if God should give us a token of his grace, of his love, and of his mercy to us, it's well worth it, my hearers, to observe this day. God gives liberally, abundantly. Upon this day, God usually reveals himself more than on other days. He comes down in the manifestation of his grace and of his spirit and uses his word to the conversion of sinners. He likewise lets down, as he did under Israel of old, manna, spiritual manna. He feeds his people. He gives them some nourishment, something that strengthens their faith, that brings the graces into exercise. And they are refreshed, and they are given again to enjoy something of God under the means of grace which he himself has appointed. Upon this day, it pleases God many times to work amongst his people so that they are filled with joy and peace in their house of worship. Of old, the saints loved this day. David, in Psalm 27, he speaks and says, "One thing have I desired, that shall I seek after, that I all the days of my life might dwell in the house of the Lord, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to worship in his temple." He says in another place, "I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness." All my hearers, have you such desires as David had? Have you ever been glad when they said to you, "Come, let us go up to the house of God"? David, in Psalm 122, was so glad when they spake to him in this way. All my hearers, have you ever had such Sabbath days in this place of worship that you have felt that God was near to you, that God was round about you, that God loved you, had chosen you, that you were one of his children? Or do you remember the time when you longed for the Sabbath day? You longed that it would be Sunday? Have you ever had a time in your life that you wished every day was the Sabbath day, the Lord's day? Oh, my hearers, have you ever had such a desire for that eternal Sabbath where you will never sin anymore, where you will see God face to face and enjoy his presence, never, never no more to go out? Oh, what a mercy if you have experienced this in this life, then this eternal Sabbath is awaiting you when you come to die. Oh, my hearers, let me exhort you in all love to your immortal soul to keep this day. Let us not desecrate it. Let us not go along with the multitude and the times in which we live, who care not about God or about his commandments. Or let us be obedient unto God. God will give his blessing upon us, even outwardly. Teach your children, instruct them in this most important fact, that God requires this of us. Oh, for those who care not, who are indifferent, and who profane this Sabbath day, which God has demanded that we keep holy, we will find Although the laws of the land leave the Sabbath breaker go free, God will not. God will most certainly visit for this sin. Reading in a book of Watson, I read of how he said that there was a certain farmer. He was bringing in his corn into his barn on the Sabbath day, and God set fire to his barn and to his house, and it burned to the ground. There was another dancing party going on, and suddenly in the midst of this dancing, someone fell down dead. It was on the Sabbath day. If you will read articles where the judgments of God have come down upon his creatures, you will find that it was mostly on the Sabbath day that God visited for the sins of the people that did these things. Oh, let not any one of my hearers turn away from this house of prayer and say, well, it's true what I heard, but it doesn't concern me. I'm going on. Oh, give ear, turn ye, while it is yet today. Hearken unto a voice of love that comes to you, and that warns you and admonishes you that you would keep this day holy. That we all sin against God even on this day. Not one of us go free, my hearers. But there is forgiveness even for this sin. God is a merciful God in Christ Jesus and willing to forgive all manner of sins. God bless the feeble explanation of this commandment to your immortal soul. I will not continue any further with the explanations of the commandments for fear that I will be so far behind that I'll never catch up. I intended not even to speak about this commandment, but a sister following me home entreated me to speak about this commandment. Therefore, I did it. It's much too short, I know. I am so conscious of it, my hearers, as I said last week before we went out. But let God use it, and may he bless it. The lesson today is found in Numbers 16. We have in that chapter the mutiny and the rebellion of Korah and his company. Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Levi, with certain Dathan and Abiram and On, these men, they rose up against Moses with 250 men who were Levites and who ministered before God in the tabernacle. This Korah, he was of the prominent family amongst the Levites. He was a cousin to Moses, this Korah. And this man, Korah, he made mutiny. He made rebellion. He was not satisfied with Moses and Aaron in leading and in governing the people of Israel. He was envious. He was jealous. He was filled with a dislike to Moses and Aaron. He had an ambition to be the leader of these people. He spake to others concerning this, and they agreed with him, Dathan and Abiram, two men that were men of renown, men that were famous amongst the tribe of Reuben. They likewise began to speak to these 250 Levites who, before Aaron was placed in the priest office, ministered before God. And these men likewise did not agree with Aaron being the high priest. They then gathered themselves together and came unto Moses and spake unto him that he had taken too much upon himself, him and Aaron, where all the congregation was holy and where the Lord was amongst them. This was a direct insult to Moses and Aaron and direct rebellion against God. Aaron and Moses had not placed themselves over this congregation. As you well know, Moses didn't even want to go. But God called Moses and insisted that he should go and take these people out of the land of Egypt. He placed them over these people. And he had not lifted himself up, as they said, because he was one of the meekest men in this world. And he was a father unto these people. He was their mediator, their intercessor between them and God. Many times he had prayed and kept the wrath of God from coming down upon them. But these men then rebelled against the authority that God had given these two men, Aaron and Moses, over the congregation. They wanted to have the authority. What they wanted to do is to upset the whole system that God had instituted of their religious worship, and likewise upset Moses and Aaron and place them outside and rule the congregation themselves. This is what they intended to do. For this, my hearers, is something that is in every one of us. We don't have to look down upon these men, because we have the same nature. That we could take this in general. Even in our daily employment, if we have someone that has a better position than we do, is making more money than we do, and we work in the same place, we become envious, we become jealous, that we would like to have that position. We would try to work this person out of that position and try to get it ourselves, is something what Korah was doing, something what's done so often. Many times this is done in places of employment. It is likewise done in the state, in the ruling and the governing of states and countries. These things that take place to oust people out of their positions is nothing else but pride and ambition and jealousy that another may reign. It likewise takes place in the church. It causes an awful lot of mischief. When we get parties together and we arise against the ruling body of the church and we will not go along with their decisions, this has caused much friction and much dissension in the churches throughout the universe. And this spirit, my hearers, reigns in each and every one of us. I was studying in the commentary, and there's a man by the name of Scott, a brilliant man. He has a commentary, but this commentary that I have is Matthew Henry, and he has certain explanations on the bottom of the page. And he began to explain how that certain young men have a desire at times to become a minister. They see what a nice position it is, what an easy position it is, what an easy life they have. I'm not talking about our ministers. I'm not talking about either the Bible class teachers, because there isn't anything easy about it. But on the outward sense, on the outward side, we find that most ministers have a very good salary, they have a nice home, they have everything that they need, and most of them, they do not have too much ability to be a minister, so they read most of what they have. And Scott was commenting on this, that such men, they thrust themselves into the ministerial office without being called and sent by God, as Moses and Aaron was. And he goes on to say, and I was wholeheartedly in agreement with him, He said the writer of this article done the very same thing. He had thrusted himself into the ministerial office too. But he says God had given him to see his errors, given him true repentance, and he regretted that he had ever done that. And he marveled that God had not done to him as he had done to Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, which he so justly deserved. I thought it was honesty on the part of this Scot to write this and comment about it, and that it was such a wonder to him that God now used him as a humble servant to preach the truth in truth and sincerity. I can't go any further with this, my hearers. Next week we'll pick it up at this point. The Lord bless the feeble instruction again given this day to your immortal soul. That's all.